Welcome again this morning to our Vacation Bible School finale and also the end of our Modern Marvel sermon series. I'm excited this morning because I get to introduce my favorite Marvel superhero growing up. His theme song still runs in my head. It goes like this. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can, spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. So when I was the kids that we'll see later, their age, that was my superhero. And over the years, we've seen Spider-Man become one of the most popular superheroes, Marvel characters ever. As one of the creators of the Marvel Universe, Stan Lee wanted to develop a character that young people could relate to. Reportedly, he was inspired observing a spider climbing up a wall. And so in 1962, he, with Steve Ditko, developed this character called Spider-Man. As we know, Peter Parker is a teenager growing up in the Bronx, in the boroughs of Queens, New York. Unfortunately, his parents die in a plane crash, so he's raised by his Aunt May Parker and Uncle Ben. At some point, he mysteriously gets bitten by a radioactive spider and possesses spider-like abilities. Ability to climb walls, to spin webs, and to detect danger with this tingling spider sense. Stan Lee says, when asked about the origins of Spider-Man, he says this: my publisher said, in his ultimate wisdom, Stan, that is the worst idea I have heard. First of all, people hate spiders. So you can't call a book Spider-Man. Secondly, he can't be a teenager. Teenagers can only be sidekicks. And third, he can't have personal problems if he's supposed to be a superhero. Don't you know what a superhero is? I think ironically, Spider-Man immediately becomes popular because of these exact reasons. Comic historian Peter Sanders says this: people often say glibly that Marvel succeeded by blending superhero adventure stories with soap opera. What Lee and Ditko actually did with The Amazing Spider-Man was to make the series an ongoing novelistic chronicle of the lead character's life. Most superheroes had problems no more complex or relevant to their reader's life than thwarting this month's bad guys. Parker had far more serious concerns in his life: coming to terms with the death of a loved one, falling in love for the first time, struggling to make a living, and undergoing crisis of conscience. So what Stan Lee was able to connect was this angst of growing up as a young person, of one's identity, self-worth, friendship, personal confidence, meaning. I know that as my wife and I have experienced this fourfold, it is really true. So this morning, I want to introduce you to a newcomer into the Spider-Man constellation. He was introduced in 2011 following the death of Peter Parker in the comic book series. And he was the main character in the 2018 Oscar-winning movie Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. And his name is Miles Morales. Now, Miles Morales also grew up in New York, but this time in Brooklyn. And he was born and raised in a biracial family. His father, Jefferson Davis, was a police officer, and his mother, Rio Morales, was a nurse. And some decried this move by Marvel as an attempt to be politically correct. The then editor of Marvel, Axel Alonso, said, "Simple fact is, Marvel comics reflect the world in all its shapes, sizes, and colors. And we believe that there's an audience of people out there thirsting for a character like Miles Morales." So let me introduce you to him. Let's take a look at this first clip depicting his first day at school.
Are you finished buggy for school?
Yeah.
You'll be left in the dust. Just carry on that, sir.
I'll be like your mama.
You're the sunflower. Come on, you're a grown man now. Let's go to the teacher's desk.
Where's my laptop?
I don't know
what happened. Hey, if you want me to drive you, we gotta go now.
No, I'll walk.
Personal chauffeur going once.
It's okay, Maria.
Miles, gotta go.
In a minute. In a minute.
Mm. In a minute.
Papa, llámame. See you Friday.
Okay, mommy. Hasta luego.
Oh, look who's back. Yo, what's going on, bro?
Hey, I'm just walking back.
How's that in school?
So easy.
You miss you, Mom.
You miss me? I still live here. Wait, you miss me? Seriously, Dad, walking would have been fine.
You can walk plenty on Saturday when you peel those stickers off.
You saw that? I don't know if that was me, Dad.
And the two from yesterday on Clinton.
Yeah, those are me.
Troll, look at that. Another new coffee shop. You see that, Miles?
Totally, yeah.
You see that one? What's that one called?
Phone party.
Phone party? Mm-hmm. Come on. And everyone is just lining up. You see that, Miles?
See it.
Is that a coffee shop or a disco?
Dad, you're old.
Another mysterious seismic event last night. Sources close to Spider-Man say he's looking into the problem.
Spider-Man. I mean, this guy swings in once a day, zip-zap-zop in his little mask and answers to no one, right?
Yeah, Dad, yeah.
And meanwhile, my guys are out there.
Yeah.
Lives on the line. Uh-huh. No mask. You know, we show our...
Oh, no. Dad, speed up. I know these kids.
You know, with great ability comes great accountability.
That's not even how the saying goes,
now,
Dad.
Now, you like a serial killer. I'm giving up.
Oh my gosh, don't cops run red lights?
Well, yeah, some do. But, not your dad.
Why can't I go back to Brooklyn Middle?
Miles, you've given it 2 weeks. We're not having this conversation.
I just think that this new school is elitist. And I would prefer to be at a normal school among the people.
The people? These are your people.
I'm only here because I won that stupid lottery.
No way. You passed the entry test just like everybody else, okay? You have an opportunity here. You want to blow that, huh? You want to end up like your uncle?
What's wrong with Uncle Aaron? He's a good guy.
We all make choices in life.
It doesn't feel like I have a choice.
You don't! I love you, Miles.
Yeah, I know, Dad. See you Friday.
You gotta say I love you back.
Dad, are you hearing me?
I wanna hear it.
You wanna hear me?
I love you, Dad.
You're dropping me off at school.
I love you, Dad.
Look at this place.
Dad, I love you.
Dad, I love you.
That's a copy. Tie your shoes.
I love you, Dad.
That's a great, great scene. So you can see Miles is our classic 13-year-old, a certain air of cool detachment and edgy recklessness, but also a sense of latent anxiety and worry. We all, like Miles, face expectations. And in the clip that we just saw, we catch the subtle hints of Jefferson Davis's expectation of his son, Miles, of the opportunities that he doesn't want him to waste, of the choices that he has to make and he doesn't have the choice to make, and expressions of affection. This makes Miles, to many of us, very human, authentic, approachable, and likable. And it's because all of us, like Miles, feel the expectations of others, whatever our age might be, of the opportunities that we have, the choices we've made in life, of the relationships that we have. And I myself, even as a 50-year-old, feel that as well. Let me suggest that expectations are neutral. Most of us benefit from hearing and knowing the interests of others for us, especially those people that we respect and love. We get motivated from maybe a posture of procrastination, apathy, indifference when we realize what people are looking for from us. And this is important not only for us at work, in our relationships, our civic community, in our families. I think we see that when responsibilities and duties and expectations are spelled out, that we generally feel that we can exert the energy to make them happen. And this is the common not only for Miles, but for all of us. However, where expectations become damaging and toxic is when those expectations are tied to acceptance, to affirmation and love. When they're conditioned on these kind of senses of responsibilities. I will accept you if. I will value you if. I will love you if. These kinds of expectations, experiences, can cause heart, can cause hurt, may impact us more deeply and more long and long term, and leave us wary of future commitments and expectations. Jesus himself found himself faced with the realities of expectations. Mark chapter 6 describes when he goes back to his hometown, and this is what he experiences, Mark chapter 6. Jesus went back into his own hometown where he had grown up, and his disciples followed him there. When the Sabbath came, he went into the synagogue in Nazareth and began to teach as he had done elsewhere, and many of those who heard him were astonished. Those in the synagogue, where did he learn this wisdom? And what are all these stories we have been hearing about the signs and healings he's performed? Where did he get that kind of power? Isn't this Jesus, the little boy we used to see in Joseph's carpenter shop? Did he grow up to become a carpenter like his father? Isn't he the son of Mary over there and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon, and their sisters? Who does he think he is? And when they thought about that that way, they became indignant and closed themselves to his message. Jesus, seeing this, a prophet cannot find honor anywhere except in his hometown, among his own people, among and in his own household. He could not do any of his great works among them except with a few of the sick, whom he healed by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at the stubbornness of their unbelief. Jesus had played in the streets of Nazareth with other boys and girls of his town. And he had hung out at the local boba shop and eaten Fossilman ice cream on hot summer days. And he started working at a very young age, first watching and observing his father and the other neighborhood craftsmen, then being taught and entrusted with simple tasks and projects. And then finally given permission to DIU, do it yourself. And this was who Jesus was. Now Jesus returns home and gets this provocative welcome. Who does he think he is? Jesus was not what they expected. He didn't attend the rabbi school, and yet he was drawing rapt attention for his knowledge and his wisdom. He had no training in the physical healing. And so his neighbors were wrestling with the source and power of what Jesus was doing in compassionate care to those who are in need. Isn't this Jesus, the little boy we used to see in Joseph's carpentry shop? Isn't he the son of Mary? Who does he think he is? Those gathered that morning in the synagogue assumed Jesus' orderliness, and they were scandalized by Jesus' emerging uniqueness. And Mark recorded at the end of this passage that Jesus was amazed by the stubbornness of their unbelief. Today in our culture, we're bombarded by this sense of the ideal. What is popular and trending? You measure it by followers and likes. What's relevant are the clicks on YouTube or the retweets on Twitter. And this sets an overwhelming battle for one's sense of identity and worth. Who am I? What do people want me to be? Am I going to be accepted and acceptable? Miles Morales felt this struggle. His desire to be himself clashed with expectation of his father. So he was wrestling with, who is Miles? Like Peter Parker, Miles was bitten by a radioactive spider. And this figuratively and literally catapulted him into a quest to know what this meant for him. Yet he knew this. His dad was wary and critical of Spider-Man. And this placed him in an anxious state of confusion and restlessness. The Apostle Paul had a protege whom he cared for very much. And he viewed him literally like his own son. He had seen this young man earnestly embrace Jesus in his life, and Paul could see the enormous potential in him. And yet, he also was facing similar great expectations from those around him. He was young. Others did not think he had enough knowledge or experience, so Timothy had his own doubts. Paul says this to Timothy in his first letter, chapter 6. So go out and insist on these things. Teach them. Don't let anyone belittle you because you are young. Instead, show the faithful young and old an example of how to live. Set the standard for how to talk, act, love, and be faithful and pure. Until I get there, make sure to devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. Don't neglect the gift that was given to you through the prophecy spoken when the company of elders laid their hands on you. Cultivate all these practices. Live by them so that all who will see how you are advancing and growing. Take care of yourself. Concentrate on your teaching and stick with these things. If you do, then you will be effective in bringing salvation to yourself and all who hear. What Paul commended Timothy to do is not to be consumed and trapped by the expectations of others, but to present and offer himself as an example in life. The word used in this passage is the type, to be the type in life. That Paul was challenging Timothy and did not allow others to measure or mark who he was supposed to be, but for himself to set the standard of how to speak, how to relate, how to love, how to demonstrate faith in God, faithful in all of his life. Timothy, you become the example. Paul knew that this was not something that would happen overnight. Timothy would need to be diligent and to be dedicated and devoted to God's work within him and then through him. And it would be seen in the small things that Timothy would do, and not always through the obvious and tangible things that people would see. Paul's word to Timothy is become the example. And this is what Miles himself needed to hear. In a moment, we'll see an older Peter Parker who came from another multiverse, and he would serve as Miles Paul. And we will advance into the scene where we'll hear what Peter Parker has to say to him and also what he experiences from his father. So let's look at this clip.
Miles, I came to say goodbye.
We can say goodbye at the Collider.
You're not getting it. You're staying here.
I need to be there so you can all go home.
They are going home, Miles. I'm the only one staying.
You're taking my place? If you stay here, you'll die.
I'm doing what needs to be done. I just wanted you to hear it from me.
What about MJ?
Not everything works out, kid. I need the goober. Please don't make me take it from you.
That's not fair. You gotta tell them I can do this.
It wasn't their decision.
I gotta make Kingpin pay. You have to let me make him pay.
Miles, you're gonna get yourself killed.
But I'm ready. I promise.
Then Venom strike me right now. Or turn invisible on command so you can get past me. You don't have it yet. I'm sorry.
Peter, listen to me.
Now you don't have to be Spider-Man.
Miles. Miles is your dad. Please open the door. Miles, I can see your shadow moving around. Yeah, okay, I get it. I get it. You're still ignoring me. Look, can we talk for a minute? Something happened. Look, sometimes people drift apart, Miles. And I don't want that to happen to us, okay? Look, I know I don't always do what you need me to do or say what you need me to say, but I see this spark in you. It's amazing. It's why I push you, but it's yours. Whatever you choose to do with it, you'll be great. Look, call me when you can, okay? I love you. You don't have to say it back, though.
Blindfold on. Mama always asking, where did I go wrong?
Took your mom,
what's
huh?
up, danger? What's up, danger?
I see this spark. It's amazing. Whatever you choose to do with it, you'll be great.
Our family doesn't run from things.
You're the best of all of us, Mom. You're on your way. Keep going.
When do I know I'm Spider-Man?
You won't. That's all it is, Miles. A leap of faith.
Like, what's up, danger? Like, what's up, danger? Like, what's up, danger? Like, what's up, danger?
Made of myself. They fit perfectly.
You'll have to watch the rest of the movie to see what happens after that. Well, Peter Parker, as you heard, reminded him that he would have to take a leap of faith. And his father, Jefferson Davis, told him that he saw a spark in him, and he wanted him to live into that. Those were the transforming moments for Miles to discover his example, his type, as Spider-Man. for each of us as we think about the expectations that we might feel in our life. Or sometimes we might feel that we pass on to other people. The question is, what kind of leap of faith are we being asked to make? What are we asking others to make because of our admonitions? We know that following Jesus requires constant leaps of faith. There's nothing that's oftentimes predictable about the spiritual life or the way of God. But we're constantly having to step out and discover who God has made us to be. The wise sage of the Proverbs invites us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. As we wrap up our summer series on Marvel superheroes, we are challenged to be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each week, through the stories that we've been covering and the narrative of the superheroes, we've been able to identify some of the ways our world seeks to shape us, mold us, and to conform us into its values and to the vision of its life. But nonetheless, we've been reminded that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds to discern God's good, perfect, and excellent will, to embrace the life-giving work of Jesus in our daily life, and to walk by faith and faithfulness with God in all that we do. So in a moment, we're going to see our children come and do their performance. But like them, we're to step into what Miles Morales and Peter Parker experienced. And we're called to take leaps of faith in order that we might become the examples that God wants us to be. I want to close with this this phrase that Uncle Ben said to young Peter Parker, because I think it captures well what we've done throughout the summer. With great power comes great responsibility. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the opportunity for us to probe into the story of our lives through the gift of movies and superheroes. They communicate a message about what life is like in our world today, the challenges, the struggles, the conflicts, the external battles, the inner turmoils that we face. And it's easy, God, for us to be consumed and trapped by what we hear that's going on in our world today. But we're asking God today and that throughout the summer that you've been laying sparks within us of what the good news of Jesus Christ means for us, how that changes us from the inside out and becomes the way by which we can live with hope, with life and vitality in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, and in our world. Thank you, God, as young and old, that we're called to run the race that you set before us. May you help us run with perseverance, with the joy that's set before Jesus, knowing that, God, you have a reward and a blessing for all of us. Thanks again for this series that we've been able to be a part of. Bless now the time that our children have to celebrate and reflect on what they've learned throughout this summer. This we pray in Jesus' name.